Om Namah Shivaya, everybody. This is teachings about selfless love with Swami Sita Ramananda. Swamiji, Om Namah Shivaya. Thank you so much for being here today. And
Om Namah Shivaya, Komila.
And we have ongoing program of your talks, which is really very nice. And so Swami Sita is an international teacher hailed from Vietnam and a renunciate senior disciple of Swami Vishnu Devananda, a great yoga master and peace teacher who was instrumental in bringing classical yogic teachings to the West in 1957. Swami Sita has taught yoga, positive thinking, meditation for 30 years and is a director of the Shivananda Yoga Farm in Grass Valley, California for more than 18 years. And what is not written here is that Swamiji has also opened a center in Vietnam and is helping all over Asia promote yoga. She's actually after the webinar going to go to Taiwan to teach there as well. So it's a long life of dedication to the cause of higher mind and spirituality. So the yoga masters that we all are lucky to have as our gurus, and Swamiji has followed in the path of her guru, Swami Shivananda and Swami Vishnu Devananda. This is Shivananda Yoga Farm, founded by Swami Vishnu Devananda in 1971 in Sierra Foothills, Grass Valley, California. So it's over 40 years since this ashram has been existing. It's a beautiful, beautiful place and wonderful to visit. I'm sure some of you have been there, but it sort of enlivens you and enlightens you to a higher space. So we are very fortunate to have Swamiji here, and I will now get Swami Sita to speak.
Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Namah Shivaya.
Thank you, Komila, for the presentation. So now we're going to start the webinar on the topic of selfless love by praying. So we pray for blessings of the Guru, for removing obstacles, so we all can learn something from these webinars. So the topic of yoga of selfless love is in fact the topic of the yoga of relationships. So in this webinar, we address the question of how to transform our negative emotional patterns into selfless love through the practice of Bhakti Yoga or the Yoga of Devotion, but Bhakti Yoga applied in daily life. We will also discuss the yogic way how to uplift and spiritualize our relationships. So that's a very big topic, because we all suffer from, you know, relationships. So why we need to practice yoga of relationships? So the picture is Lord Rama and Sita. It is said is considered to be the ideal. Lord Rama and Sita are always faithful, loyal, but representing the loyalty of the devotee or the individual soul toward the Lord. But in the story of Ramayana. So the idea is that we all aspire to be loved and to love all the time and 100%, but we fail to feel the 100% all the time. So we suffer from disappointments, losses, inner conflicts, resentments, separation, attraction repulsion, emotional swings, and also suffer from the paradox of wanting to lose oneself in love and yet wanting to be in control. So the problem is between the notion of self, big S, and others, yeah, and how to find ourselves through relationships. So a very big topic. So Swami Sivananda is sitting beautifully by the Ganga, who is a great master, and he said, what is love? So first we have to figure out in our mind, what is it? We want to love, but what is it? He said that love is the goal of life. I mean, everything in our life, in fact, is making us going toward that goal. Love is the law of life. Love is love, God is love, and love is God. To love is to fulfill the law. We live so that we may learn to love. But what kind of love? To love in the eternal. I mean, love forever. So Swami Sivananda said that love prevails among saints and good men. This is a picture of Swami Vishnudevanji. I knew him many years, and he's, you know, I think that the thing that attracted me to him was his unusual kind of love. When you do not know, you never met with a good, real good man or good person or good saint, a saint, then you don't have that experience. So when you come close to his aura, then you can feel something extraordinary that heals you, and that is called the universal love. So Swami Vishnudevanji said about love. He said, Catholics, Protestants, Jews and Arabs, white and black, we can live together. Educated people, uneducated people, contractor and businessmen, honorary swamis and yogis, we can all live together, eat together and speak together. We can live our life in a very universal way. So this is love and universal love. So Swamiji used to be with us, mix with us, chat, joke, like a, you know, very close, very nice, very, very, very familiar. And, you know, he's always in a happy mood. Some kind of noise. So, but what is love? Love is not desire. Happiness comes from love. The true happiness is not just emotional and satisfaction of desire, but the fulfillment of our soul, longing to be united with the Supreme. So something to think about. What is our heart's longing, truly? It's a beautiful picture of Krishna and Radha. It's also the symbol of divine love. Love is oneness, union, unity, yoga. Our human condition is separation. We suffer from separation and we long for union. Our stories of love are the different stories of our karmic lessons unfolding. Experience as pain or pleasure. Yoga helps to free us from the suffering coming from this duality and this split we feel between self and others. So our experience is the experience of separation. We always feel missing something. But selfless love is to be learned. It is something that we have to understand clearly and we have to practice. It's not something that, you know, we can feel and we can act out. Our relationships are opportunities to learn selfless love. Selfless love means to see the self in others and see divinity in others as well as in oneself. It means not seeing the differences, but seeing the essence, the commonness that is one, and realizing unity in diversity. Unconditional love is selfless and unconditional. Conditional love is selfish and emotional. Emotions need to be purified. So sometimes we feel love, but in fact it's emotional love, and then we feel pain right after, because it's selfish, it's emotional, it doesn't come from the core of being. So emotions need to be purified. I mean, we can change the level of it and it become pure love. And that's the topic of this lesson, really, is how to do this, how to purify our emotions to become pure love. Emotions come from our lower mind and our subconscious mind. So we have to know that we have a higher mind. That means a capacity to switch our mind to higher level. And we have to know that our habits that are in our subconscious mind, you know, and our subconscious mind carries impressions of our history of the past. Yeah, either this life or past lives, I mean, we have certain kind of deep grooves or deep impressions in our stories of love, and we reproduce them. So yoga teaches us to purify the low mind and to activate our higher mind. That means to activate our capacity of pure love. So one thing we need to understand very clearly is emotions are different than love. Love is at the root of every emotion. Okay? So when we feel an emotion, we feel actually love. But emotions are a form of love, but distorted. So conditioned love and egoistic love lead to negative emotions instead of bliss. So when we feel emotions that are not necessarily positive, so we need to somehow get back to our heart of love. We have to know that negative emotions are not our lot. You know, pure love is our true nature. But negative emotions is something that we reproduce and we experience and we interact wrongly, and that's how we get negative emotions. So when we see the negative emotions, we need to learn how to get back to our heart of pure love. So negative emotions in relationships, this is a fire that is smoking. Negative emotions are tamasic. Tamasic is a Sanskrit term that says that it comes from spiritual darkness, yeah, some kind of veiling of our true nature. And negative emotions also can come from our rajas nature, that means our rajasic nature, our egoism, our strong idea about ourselves, and you know, we are right and we project different idea about reality and others, and then we act and interact, so that create negative emotions. And these negative emotions, tamasic or rajasic, need to be converted. I mean, they need to be somehow transformed to positive emotions that are sattvic, that means that are closer to pure love. And then from there, from the positive and calm emotions, you can see through and you experience the pure love that has always been there. So we need to recognize and see them for what they are. Our common negative emotions that we experience in our interactions, our human relationships. So wise people, they aim to find peace, to achieve love. So if you want love, you have to also want peace. You cannot want love and not want peace, because peace and love are synonymous terms. So we have to try to find peace in our relationships, in our life, to achieve love. Now, love cannot come with conflict and fighting. So the number one emotion is anger. Anger comes from unfulfilled expectation or desire. Now, that comes from ourselves. So we have expectation, we have desire, because we are not content. We're not seeing that everything is already within. So we expect everything outside, and then we get upset. So we need to let go of expectation. We need to practice gratefulness of what we have. We need to learn to surrender and to accept whatever it is. We need to let go of control, which is very difficult, yeah? And to practice patience and to mitigate all our desire. Now, mitigate means to work with it and try not to yield to our desire impulse. Now, fears are the big emotion. And what is fear? Fear comes from attachment. Yeah, so sometimes in human relationship, we are afraid. We function out of fear and not out of love. Fear comes from attachment. So then we need to know that we are attached to something. And it can be paralyzing. I mean, it makes us smaller than who we are. So there are different forms of fear, you know, fear of death, fear of being alone, fear of public criticism, fear of losing, fear of relationship, fear. We are actually functioning a lot out of fear. So what's the antidote of that? We need to practice courage, which is the opposite. We need to practice faith. Yeah, we need to practice detachment, because fear comes from attachment. So we need to practice detachment. That means not be too involved and try to see the big picture. And then practice self-inquiry, so you know what is the truth, what is not truth. So you don't you know, yield in and buy into our fear that project a false idea of ourselves. And we need to practice self-confidence. That means the faith and the trust in God and the faith in ourselves that create that self-confidence. It's not egoistic, but it's just calmness in our faith that makes us, you know, face our imagination and our fear. And then we need to practice self-reliance. So if we depend on something so much, and we'll be afraid that this thing would leave us, or we would lose it. So from there, then we function out of attachment and fear, and we're not functioning out of our core of love, because we're afraid. So we cling on to something because we're afraid. So that makes the relationship is biased. So it's not something that you know, that bring you closer to your heart of love. See, so that's why we have to build up our own strength, self-reliance and reliance on God. Okay, so and if you're afraid, there's a beautiful goddess Durga. Yeah? She sits on a tiger or lion with many arms, many weapons. And she said, she's a cure you of fear, and she protects you from all fears that come from yourself. Sometimes we are afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of our own mind. We're afraid of our own life. Yeah, so we need to pray to her to bring our inner strength out. And she protects us from inside and from also from outside, because the outside actually come from the inside. Okay? And then we need to contemplate on the idea of what is attachment. This is our lamas, you know, mother gave birth to a baby here at the yoga farm. So true love is not attached, but detached. Of course, you know, mother and daughter, and you know, that is very strong kind of attachment. Made that, you know, it's a law of nature. The mother has to be attached to babies so that she will take care of babies, you know, so that's part of it. So it's part of our human equation, you know, that we have to do our duty, and we have to, you know, struggle to detach, even though our strong impulse is to attach. So therefore in yoga it says, you know, the whole concept of doing our duty in a detached manner. That means it's not that you abandon your duty because you're detached. It's not that. You have to perform your duty, but you know, not get yourself egoistic about it, and not get too, you know, emotionally involved, so that you forget that it is your, you know, you are work out something, you are learning something. Yeah, you're learning to love truly. Yeah, even your child, you have also to learn love truly. So true love is warm. It's not like detachment that means cold, you know, it's not that. You still can be warm and yet not emotional, but it's detached. So it's something that we have to learn. All the different nuances, it's not that easy, because it seems contradictory, but it's piece by piece, if you practice and you learn, at least, you know, that attachment doesn't help you, yeah, bring a lot of entanglement, and you learn to detach, even though you are there and you are present and you are very loving, you know, but you are not attached. So it doesn't mean, detachment doesn't mean that you are rejecting something or somebody. It means learning to see the true self, you know, that is love, absolute, and bliss absolute, and thus feeling fulfilled and not needing anybody, anything else. So that's where the basis of the detachment come from. So you have to feel and see your true self, base yourself on your true self that is love absolute, bliss absolute, and then you feel very full. Yeah, therefore you are there, you do your duty, you are not needing, you are not attached, you do your duty, you serve, you love, because from our heart of love we have a lot of energy that we can serve, you know, and we can give of our love without feeling that you have to hold it, or you have to negotiate it, or you have to, or you are fearful to give it out like this. So it's the story with ourselves that we have to work out. What that means to function out of our true self, or what means to function out of the love of God and see other people as God. So these are two ways how to say more or less the same thing. So now continue with our inventory of a different negative emotion that might come in human relationship is the feeling of hatred. It comes from the love turning in the wrong direction. It is opposite of love. Okay, so when you feel hating somebody, you have to work on it because you are actually depriving yourself from something that is your true self. So the antidote is you need to practice compassion. So, you know, we expect people to behave certain way, they don't, so we, you know, they are just themselves working out their life, but we compare ourselves to others and we hate them. So we need to practice compassion, understand them from where they are, empathy, see the self in others, and you need to do selfless service. So when you do selfless service, you open your heart. So then you'll be able to include more people. You know? And it's a love in action. Selfless service is love in action. So it's not just only a feeling, but you can actually put this in action. This will open the knots of the heart, which we have, because we have all these, like I said, past stories of unsuccessful love and then fear and all this. So it's like knots in our heart. It closes our heart. So we need to open the knot of our heart that based on egoism and prejudices that corrupt love into hatred. So now this is a big topic. Lust is not love. So people fall in love, but why you have to fall in love, you know? You have to rise in love. So fall in love very often time is a kind of romantic notion about love. And it's it's our instinctive impulse that is very strong that push us into this kind of strong feeling. But we need to distinguish between love and lust. Lust comes from desire and passion, okay? Manifested as sensual and sexual desire, deeply ingrained as our instinctive habit. Okay, so we are not born from grass, so therefore we have this imprint within us. Lust makes you blind, yeah, and commit sins. So if you look at the newspaper, there's so much scandal that come from this, you know, lust, sex scandal, you know. So it's you can laugh at other people, you know, but it's a reality, yeah, in our life that we need to somehow be able to extirp the love out of the lust and be able to control our sensual and sexual desire and sublimate them. I mean, transform them into something that will be positive and that will lead you closer to your goal, that will bring you closer to your true happiness. So the antidote is devotion to the divine. That means you need to, that all these emotions that go down, you know, into the sensual sexual desire, you need to switch it and turn it, you know, to the different practice of bhakti yoga, which we can talk about later, into the devotion or the desire for oneness with that supreme self or supreme truth and supreme love that is God or that is divine. So we need to be exercising awareness in our attraction, you know, and recognizing there our reproductive instinct. Okay, so we have that genetic programming to reproduce. So therefore, we are constantly in search the mate, yeah, and that is coming from our animal nature. So we need to understand that we have our higher nature that we want to honor, yeah, which is our divine nature, that is not just only instinctive. Yeah, you see all these movies, you know, they talk about basic instinct. I mean, let all this instinct go wild, no control. So it's not that the path to pure love and happiness. So keep our pure motive. That means, you know, when in our interaction with people, learn to notice our motive. Yeah, is it coming from our desire, or is it coming from our selfless love? So identify less with the body. This will help a lot. Yeah. So we think that we are the body. So yoga said that we are not the body. The body is our tool. And with the moment that you identify with the body, then you identify with your separate self that is attached to the body. And from there, lust will come. Okay. The union that we crave would come in forms of union of body, because we think that we are the body. And we are the senses that come with the body. So have that philosophical attitude and that realization that we are more than our body, and we are not separate. So thinking of ourselves higher will help. So transform lust and instinct into selfless love and respect. So, you know, you have to learn to respect ourselves and respect others, and from there you would find the right way how to control our instinct. We can sublimate our sexual energy through yoga. So yoga practice, meditation practice, all help in that sublimation. I mean, transforming the current of our energy instead of going downward, it to go upward and go beyond lust. So that this is what yoga can help you with. So, and you see the picture is Shiva and Durga all together in one body. I mean, in essence, we are both male and female within us, as our true self transcends gender. So we identify with our body and our biological makeup, you know, our body. So then we identify with being a male or female, and from there come the different interaction between genders that is based on that. But if we try to move ourselves out of that equation, change the paradigm, then you will see that we are the self that is transcending gender. And in reality, we are seeking union with the divine self. So all this, you need to contemplate on this and think about this. Yeah, because that identification with our gender is very deep. It's the deepest thing, because it represents our identification with our body. So since we're young, all the time we've been addressed as male or female. Yeah. So when you are born, you know, you are a girl, then you wear pink, and if you are a boy, then you wear blue. So that is very, very deep within us. Okay. So from there to think that I am the true self, immortal self beyond gender, is a very big leap. But you would have to exercise this thinking, because without exercise it and recognize the truth within it, we cannot come closer to that idea of pure love, selfless love that is divine. So now recognize also in our negative emotion, you know, the desire in forms of greed. Greed comes from our desire for safety and fulfillment, twisted into insatiable desire for material objects. So then at that time, you know, it's not just only survival, but it's greed we're talking about, you know. So, and it's like we try to fulfill ourselves and find the safety in the material world when our suffering comes from the sense of separation and the sense of insecurity living in the material world, when we are the soul or the, you know, the spirit living in the material world, and then we want to secure our life, and that's our way how we find ourselves, is to secure ourselves materially. And from there come a lot of other kind of emotions that are distorting ourselves. Yeah, and from there the relationship can be also distorted, a way how we interact with other people can be selfish based on that. So we need to remove the greed to find safety and fullness inside. I mean, we need to assert ourselves that we are, you know, the immortal spirit. We are this something that is more, much more valuable than any material thing can give us. And we find that inner security, inner safety, then it allowed us to be able to approach pure love. Yeah, so you need to practice